John Lennon, The Rolling Stone Interview, Part 5.
Who do you think is good? In any art?
You see, the unfortunate thing about egomaniacs is they don't take much attention of other people's work. Mm-hmm. I only assess people on whether they're a danger to my work or not. Yoko is more as important to me as Paul and Dylan roll into one. Her work is... I don't think the four batters will get recognition until she's dead. You know, and there's me, and maybe I could count the people on one hand that can have any conception of what she is or what her mind's like or what her work means to this fucking idiotic fucking generation. And I just... She has the hope that she might be recognised, but...
Next year.
If I can't get recognised, and I'm doing it in fucking clown's costume, man. I'm doing it on the streets, you know. I don't know what... I admire Yoko's work. I admire Andy Warhol. I admire Zappa a bit, but I think he's a fucking intellectual. I can't think of anybody else. I admire people from the past, you know. I admire Fellini. I don't know, a few that Yoko's into. She's educating me into things that I didn't know about before, you know, that just because of the scene I was in. So I'm getting to know some other great work that's been going on in the past and now. There's all sorts going on, you know. But I still love Little Richard. And I love Jerry Lee Lewis, you know. I mean, they like primitive painters, you know.
I'm getting into it because now she's teaching.
Yeah, right. So we're both showing each other's experience, you know, to each other. And it's like you say when you play Yoko's music or something, I had the same thing. I had to open up to hear it. I had to get out the concept of what I wanted to hear and what was to allow abstract art or music in. She had to do the same for rock and roll. It was an intellectual exercise because we're all boxed in. We're all in little boxes, you know, and we have to have, somebody has to come in and go, you know, and rip your fucking head open for you to allow something else in, you know. I let a drug do it, you know, like acid will bash your head open and you think, fucking hell, you know, or some artists can do it, but they usually have to be dead 200 years to do it. You know, I mean, all I ever learned in art school was about fucking Van Gogh and stuff. They didn't teach me anything about anybody that was alive now, or they never taught me about Marcel Duchamp, which I despise them for, you know. And Yoko's taught me about Duchamp and what he did, which is just out of this fantastic, you know. He got a fucking bike wheel and said, "This is art, you cunts," you know. He wasn't Dali. Dali's all right, but he's like Mick, you know.
Well, so you heard about Dali in school?
No, but I mean, if you put the thing back into that age, Dali's like Mick and Duchamp is like me or you, you know. Mm. And I love Dali, but the fucking Duchamp was spot on, you know.
Why were not?
Because
he's creating the same impact.
He just... He's great, you know. Yes, he's an original great, and he's in so much pain, you know. But he's got his fame, he's got his own cinema and all that. And I don't dig all that junky fag scene and all that he lives in or whatever. I don't know whether he lives like that or what. I dig Heinz soup can. Man, that was something. That wasn't just a pop art or some stupid ass like, I don't know, Peter Max and all that psychedelic shit.
No, it's not that.
Warhol's one of the greats, you know. He said it. Nobody else said it. Heinz soup, you know. He said that to us, you know, and I thank him for it.
Fellini.
Well, Fellini's just... he's more like Dali, I suppose. You know what I mean? He's just great.
We just saw that.
Great. A great meal, you know, to go and have to see Fellini's. Had a great meal. A great meal of... your senses.
We like Citizen Kane, don't we?
And Citizen Kane, you know. I mean, that's something else too. You know, poor old Orson there. He's still, you know, he goes on Dick Cavett and he's still, please love me, you know. I mean, I'm a big fat man now and I've eaten all this food and I did do well when I was younger and I can act, I can direct, and you're all very kind to me, but at the moment I don't do anything.
He still sees Citizen Kane about I don't know, 8 times on the end. And the thing is, even after this primal and all that, you know, and we saw it, and he's just saying it, you know, like the rosebud thing and all that. It's amazing.
Do you see a time when you'll retire? Or
no, I couldn't, you know.
He'll probably work until 80 or until, you know, he dies.
Well, I don't know, you know. I can't foresee it, you know, because even like when you're a cripple, you carry on painting, you know. I mean, I would paint if I couldn't move, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter. You see, when I was saying about what Yoko did with Greenfield and took half an inch of rubbishy tape that we none of us knew what we were doing cause at the time, it was just a bum tape. When I saw her create something and saw how she created out of nothing, you don't have to be trained in rock and roll. The same as I didn't have to be trained singer. I can sing. Singing till people here enjoy what you're singing, not being able to hold notes or anything like that. And I don't have to create. I don't have to do it in rock and roll, you know. I mean, if I'm an old man, I can. We'll make wallpaper together, you know. It just have the same depth and impact. The message is whatever. Well, the medium, I don't understand.
The message is the medium,
you know.
What's holding back you with Mother saying Yoko?
Well, she was doing all right before she met Elvis, you know. Mm-hmm. And people tend, like when I was telling you that Howard Smith announced he was going to play her music, and all these idiots rang up and said, don't dare play it. She split the Beatles. She didn't split the Beatles. And even if she did, so what's that got to do with their fucking record? But she's a woman, and she's Japanese. There's racial prejudice against her, and there's female prejudice against her. It's as simple as that. People come up and shake my hand. They don't. I said, this is my wife.
Well, that's why they don't like her.
Yeah. Her work is far out, man. Has anybody understood Warhol, or understood his that building, you know, 24 hours of sleep and that? Yoko's Bottoms thing is as important. Bottoms film is as important as Sergeant Pepper. You know, to the real hip people, they know about it. There's a few people know. There's a person in Paris knows about her. There's a person in Moscow knows about her. There's a person in fucking China knows about her. But in general, she can't be accepted. Because she's so far out, man. It's hard to take. Her pain is such that she expresses herself in a way that hurts you. That you cannot take it. That's why they couldn't take Van Gogh and all that shit. It's too real. It hurts. That's why they kill you.
What accounts for your great popularity?
Because I fucking did it in. I copped out in that Beatle thing. I was like an artist that went off and. And you never heard of Dylan Thomas and all them that never fucking wrote, they just went off drinking, and Brendan Behan and all them died of drink. And we're all. Everybody that's done anything is like that. I just found myself in a party. I was an emperor, you know, and I had millions of chicks, drugs, drink, fucking power, and everybody saying how great I was. How can I get out of here? It was just, you know, it's just like being in a fucking coach. I couldn't get out. I couldn't create either, but, you know, I created it. It came out, but I was in the party, man. You don't get out of a thing like that. It was fantastic. I came out the sticks. I didn't hear about anything other. Van Gogh was the most far out thing I'd ever heard of. And even London was something we used to dream of, and London's nothing, you know. And Paris and all this, it was all that, you know. I came out the fucking sticks into take over the fucking world, it seemed like to me. I was enjoying it, you know, and I was in it, and I was trapped in it too. I couldn't do anything about it. I was just going along for the ride. I was hooked, just like a junk.
What do you think of America?
I love it, you know, and I hate it. America is where it's at,
it?
Man. You know, I should have been born in New York, man. I should have been born in the village. That's where I belong. You know, why wasn't I born there? Like Paris was it in the 18th century or whatever it was? London, I don't think it's ever been it. It might have been it, literary wise, when Wilde and Evan Shaw and all them were there. New York was it. Mm-hmm. I regret it. Profoundly not being American and not being born in Greenwich Village. That's where I should have been. But it never works that way, you know. Everybody heads towards the centre. That's why I'm here now. I'm here just to breathe it. It might be dying, or there might be a lot of dirt in the air, but but this is where it's happening. Mm. And you go to Europe to rest, you know, like in the country. But it's so overpowering, America, for me, and I'm such a fucking cripple that I can't take much of it, you know. It's too much for me. I have to...
But he's very New York, you know. I mean,
I'm too frightened of it, you know. It's so much... And people are so aggressive. I can't take all that, you know. I have to... I mean, I need to go home, you know. I need to have... To look at the grass. I'm always writing about English garden and that. No, I need that, the trees and the grass, you know. Oh, don't I?
Yes,
I need to go into the country, you know, because I can't stand too much.
What is Liverpool?
People.
What was the influence on you?
Liverpool was just where I was brought up, you know. They were like anywhere, you know. I love the concept of it, but I don't live there.
Some of the early critics yeah. Somebody said, well,
oh, that's true, you know, because it was a port. That means it was less hick than somewhere in the Midlands, like the Midwest or whatever you call it. We were a port, the second biggest port in England, also between Manchester and Liverpool. That's where all the north was, where the money was made in the 1800s, whenever it was. That was where all the brass and the heavy people were, and that's where the despised people were. We were the ones that were looked down upon by the southerners as animals, you know, like the south, you all you easterners think that people are pigs down south here, and you know, and the people in New York think West Coast's hick and all that. So we were Hicksville, and also we're all great amount of Irish descent, and blacks, and Chinamen, and all sorts of. It was a real. It's like San Francisco, you know. It's that. God, that San Francisco is somewhere, something else. Why do you think Haight-Ashbury and all that happened there and didn't happen in L.A.? It happened in San Francisco. That's where people are going. L.A. you pass through and get a hamburger, you know. So Liverpool was like that, but there was nothing big. It wasn't American. It was going poor. It was a very poor city and tough. But people had a sense of humour because they're in so much pain, you know. So they're always cracking the joke. They're very witty. And it's the Irish place, you know. It's where the Irish came when they ran out of potatoes. And it's where black people were left or worked as slaves or whatever and created communities. It's cosmopolitan. And it's where the sailors would come home with the blues records from America on the ships. And there's the biggest country and western following in England in Liverpool, probably besides London, always besides London, because there's more of it there. But I remember the first guitar I ever saw was a guy in a cowboy suit in a province of Liverpool with the stars and the cowboy hat and a big dobro, you know, and they're all playing. They're real cowboys there. They take it seriously. They've been cowboys long before there was rock and roll. You know, it's a real, and there's folk clubs, and there's all that was going on there. So there's all that kind of environment, you know.
San Francisco. How did you, when Sergeant at that time, Sergeant Cooper, that was about the time San Francisco was coming along. And what did you think of San Francisco?
I thought, well, and you know, I was, George went over in the end. I was all for going there and living on the hate, you know. I mean, in my head, I thought, well, hell, acid's it, and this is the answer. Let's go. I'll go there, you know. And I was going to go there, but I'm too nervous to do anything, actually, you know. I thought, I'll go there now, and we'll live like that, you know, and I'll make music and all that. But of course, it didn't come true, you know. But it happened in San Francisco. I mean, it happened all right, didn't it? I mean, it goes down in history. Mm. I love it, you know. It's like when Shaw was in England, and they all went to Paris, and it's all that, and New York, San Francisco, and London. Even London, we created something there with Mick and us, and all of it. We didn't know what we were doing, but we were all talking and blabbing over coffee like they must have done in Paris talking about painting. We in Burden and Brian Jones would be up night and day talking about music and playing records and blabbing and arguing and getting drunk and, you know, just all that, you know. It's beautiful history, and it happened in all these different places, you know. I just miss New York. But in New York they had their own cool clique, you know. And she came out of that.
Wow, it's a tough scene in New York, isn't it? One of the...
I've got to say it. It's a great place to come and spend money.
Oh, yeah.
But it... Yes.
This is the first time I'm really seeing it, you see, because I was always too nervous, always the famous Beatle. Dylan showed it me, you know, once on a sort of guided tour around the village and everything, but I never got any feel of it. I just knew Dylan was New York, and I always sort of wished I'd been there for the experience that Bob got, you know. from living around.
What's the nature of your relationship?
Well, it's sort of acquaintance, you know, because we're so nervous. Whenever we used to meet, it was always under the most nerve-wracking circumstances. And I know I was always uptight. I know Bobby was, and people like Al Aronowitz would try and bring us together. And we were together, and we'd spend some time, but I'd always be too paranoid or I'd be aggressive or something, and vice versa. We didn't really speak, but we spent a lot of time together, and he came to my house, which was Kenwood, can you imagine it? And I didn't know where to put me in this sort of this bourgeois home life I was living in. I didn't know what to do, and things like that. It was all strange. I used to go to his hotel, rather, and I loved him, you know, because he wrote some beautiful stuff. I used to love that, you know, his so-called protest things, you know. But I liked the sound of him. I didn't have to listen to his words. He used to come with his acetate and say, listen to this, you know. And he said, did he hear the words? And I said, that doesn't matter, you know, just the sound is what counts, you know. The overall thing, you know, you don't have to hear what Bob Dylan's saying, you just have to hear the way he says it. Like, medium is the measure, whatever mix up, but Dylan was like that, you know. But I had quite a good...
I respected him a lot,
you know. I know Paul didn't. I think Paul was jealous, you know. Paul didn't like any other artist, you know. But that's valid. Paul didn't get hyped like me. I had too many father figures, you know.
And you like but words. That's
I like words,
like
too, so I liked a lot of the stuff he did. I like words.
Do you see him as the great...
No, I see him as another poet, you know, or as a competition. I mean, you just read my books, which are written before I'd heard of Dylan or read Dylan or even heard of anybody. It's the same, you know. I didn't come after Elvis and Dylan. I've been around always. But if I see or meet a great artist, I love them, you know. I just love them. I go fanatical about them, you know, for a short period. Mm-hmm. And then I get over it, you know. And if they wear green socks, I'm liable to wear green socks for a period too, you know. But that's all.
When was the last time you saw Bob?
He came to our house with George. And when I'd written Cold Turkey.
And his wife.
Yeah. And I was just trying to get him to record. He'd put him on piano for Cold Turkey to make a rough take. But his wife was pregnant or something, and, you know, she didn't, and they left, you know. But he's calmed down a lot now, you know, than what he was. I just remember we're both in chase and both on fucking junk, and all these freaks on us, and Ginsberg and all those people. I was nervous to see in London when he came, you know.
So when that movie was
in? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I've never seen it. I'm in it, you know. It's frightened as hell, you know.
I haven't seen it, but somebody did. I don't want to run it.
I'd love to see it. I have to see it.
I must ask to see it. Could you arrange it? Oh, great.
I never did see it. You know. I was so frightened, you know. Yes. And Bob said, it's like you saying to Jan, but you never know what double entendre. I was always so paranoid that he said, I want you to be in this film. He just wanted me to be in the film. I thought, why? What? He's going to put me down. It's going to be, you know, and I went all through this terrible thing. So in the film, I'm just blabbing off, like, just sort of, I'm commenting all the time, like you do when you're very high and stoned. Yeah. What did he say?
I don't remember the exact thing, but you come off really nervous.
Yeah.
So, I've
been up all night.
We're trying to trade humor.
That's it. We've been smart, Alex. Like Alan and, and that guy at the, it's terrible. But it was his scene, you know. Mm. That was the problem for me. It was his movie, and I didn't. You know,
let's see it.
I was on his territory. That's why I was so nervous. You know, it was I was on his session.
Tomorrow night?
No, Yoko, you're going to see the Toronto Rock film tomorrow. You're going to make a film tomorrow. And you're going to do an interview tomorrow. And you're probably lined up Howard Smith for tomorrow by the sound of what you were on the bloody phone. This is the woman who drove me mad.
Okay, so try and call it.
We'll see it some other day. But if you can just tell us how to get in touch with it, that would be interesting.
It's Penny Baker.
Oh, yeah, I get mixed up with him in the maze. Penny Baker, Toronto. Right. Oh, I see. Okay, well, we'll probably see him tomorrow. I don't know how we're going to see it and make a movie.
Oh, shoot, it's very
easy. Is it?
Not for you.
No, I mean, it's such a full day. Mm.
Here now is Rolling Stone editor and publisher Jan S. Werner.
After the interview was done, about a week later, I call him up. I had a few spots I needed to fill in some information. And then just kind of a casual conversation. And I asked him, I said, you're going back to London. What's a rough picture of your immediate future, say the next 3 months? And John said, well, I'd just like to vanish a bit. It wore me out, New York. I love it. I'm sort of just fascinated by it, like a fucking monster. Doing the films was a nice way of meeting a lot of people. I think we've both said and done enough for a few months, especially with this article. I'd like to get out of the way and wait till they all... I said, well, do you have a rough picture of the next few years? And John responds, oh, no, I couldn't think of the next few years. It's abysmal thinking of how many years there are to go. Millions of them. I just play it by the week. I don't think much ahead of a week. And then I say, I have no more to ask. And he goes, well, fancy that. I said, do you have anything to add? And he goes, no, I can't think of anything positive and heartwarming to win your readers over. And then I was saving this. I said, do you have a picture of when I'm 64? He goes, no, no. I hope we're a nice old couple living off the coast of Ireland or something like that, looking at our scrapbook of madness. How brilliant.